Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5. Ladies and gentlemen of the listening public in Laguna Beach, California and beyond, I'm Jason Fetty and it is my pleasure to welcome to our Pearl Street studio in beautiful downtown Laguna, from 60s sensations Peter and Gordon, legendary record producer and the man that signed James Taylor to Apple Records, Mr. Peter Asher.
See her coming down the street, I get so shaky and I feel so weak. I tell my eyes look the other way, but they don't seem to hear a word I say. And I go to pieces and I wanna hide, go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. Tell my arms they'll hold someone new, another love that will be true. But they don't listen, they don't seem to care. He reached for her, but she's not there. And I go to pieces and I wanna hide, go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. I remember what she said when she said goodbye. Baby, we'll meet again soon, maybe. But until we do, all my best to you. I'm so lonely, think about her only. Go to places we used to go, but I know she'll never show. She hurt me so much inside. Now I hope she's satisfied. And I go to pieces and I wanna hide, go to pieces and I almost die every time my baby passes by. Go to pieces and I cry every time my baby passes by. Every time my baby passes by.
Peter Asher's in the studio. Hard to believe he's here with your musical director. Jeffrey Alan Ross is here too. And how fun.
Yes, absolutely. Nice to be here in Laguna Beach.
Yeah, thanks for coming. Now, of course, you're here to do a show, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But
yes,
it's just so nice to meet you. You've been part of all of our little our worlds. I mean, I know you've never met me before, but I feel like, you know, my Uncle Pete's here.
Well, thank you very much. When did you move over here?
15 years ago.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm too young to remember the 60s. And I wasn't, I'm not saying that because I was, you know, doing acid or anything. I was literally too young.
And doing acid.
Not till a little later. I did it when it wasn't cool. You know. But no, it's you've been involved in all the music that we all really love. Do you ever pinch yourself and go, "Blimey, look at that"?
No, but I've enjoyed myself so far, and so I'm proud of what I've done. But no, I can believe it. It's a long and interesting story.
Yeah, how did you get into music in the first place? Were you always into music or?
Well, yes, I grew up in a musical household. My mother was a classical musician. She was oboe professor at the Royal Academy of Music in London. And my father was a doctor, but a good amateur pianist. So I grew up in a very musical household. And then I discovered rock and roll, you know, and fell in love with it.
Yeah, yeah. And you obviously your name is inextricably linked with the Beatles. And you wrote songs along with Paul McCartney and were in the room.
No, I wish I'd written songs along with Paul McCartney. You know, sadly, that's
is that not
that's
true? I've made that up. Did I make that up?
Yeah, but I'd love to know which ones I wrote.
You could have gone along. You could have gone along with it, Pete.
I want my share.
Does the Queen know? Because she just gave you a knighthood. No, they see, well, not, it was quite, not a knighthood. See, no,
exactly. CBE, yeah. She did, yes.
I'm just trying to big
very
you
graciously.
Up. I'm trying to
but
big
you're
up.
Promoting me all the time.
I am, I'm trying to.
I wrote
to.
The Beatles songs and I'm a knight. But other than that, other than that, it's
that's
all
right.
True.
Right. He rode into the city today on Paul McCartney's horse.
That's right.
And a CBE, though, that's a big deal. Commander most excellent something.
Order of the British Empire, yes. It's
yes,
true.
Sir.
I think it's probably too late to save the empire, but I'll do my best. But as long as I've cheered people up a bit, that's okay. Although, of course, some of the James Taylor songs I produced probably made him miserable.
Tell us about that. Yeah, no. Because there's something about a miserable man singing that's quite uplifting in an odd way.
Well, that's the basis of the blues, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what the blues are all about.
Yeah. How did you meet James Taylor?
Through a mutual friend called Danny Korchmar, who's a guitar player. And oddly enough, it was a series of coincidences. Danny was in a band that had backed Peter and Gordon on several tours in America. He was in a band called the King Bees. Every time we toured America, we'd get a different band, and one of them had Danny in it, and we became firm friends and remained so. And he was subsequently in a band with his childhood friend, James Taylor, a band called the Flying Machine. And James, that band was a New York-based band, and they broke up. They were all kind of miserable and strung out and this, that, and the other. And James decided to go to London, where he had a girlfriend he thought he could stay with. And Danny gave him my phone number. Said, well, if you're going to London, I've got a friend who lives there. You should give him a call. So he did. And he came over to my flat and played me some songs, and I went nuts.
And you were working at Apple at the time.
I just recently got the job as head of A&R for Apple Records. So I said, well, it so happens I'm just started work at a new record label. I'm head of A&R, and I can sign people. Would you like a record deal? And he went, yes, please, that sounds great. And then I could explain who owned the label and stuff.
Right.
Within a few days, therefore, he was in the studio, in the office, meeting the Beatles.
Having a great time.
Yep.
Mike Waldman is here from Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness. And Mike, I know Mike Littlewit is a huge fan of the Beatles and stuff. You got a question you'd like to ask, Pete?
Well, I think what Jason was going to ask you about the time, I read that you came downstairs in your home one day and you saw Paul McCartney and John Lennon singing a song for the first time together.
Yeah, well...
You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Well, as I say, my mother was an oboe teacher, and she was, in addition to teaching the Royal Academy of Music up the road, she had a music room in the basement where she would give private lessons. And Paul was living in our house at the time, which is a long story, but he and I were sharing the top floor of our house. And my mama told him that he could use the piano in this basement room anytime he wanted when she wasn't teaching. And so there was an occasion, yes, when John Lennon came over and they were downstairs with the piano. No guitars. The guitars were upstairs in my bedroom and Paul's bedroom, actually. So, they were down there an hour or so, and Paul called up the stairs and asked if I wanted to come down and hear the song they'd just written. So I came and sat on the sofa in this room, and they sat side by side on the piano bench and played this new song they'd just written called I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Oh, my God.
Asked me what I thought.
Wow, that's a great story.
Yep.
Pretty incredible.
Not the first time I've told that story, but...
No.
I'm sure when I thought about it, I'm sure that was true. But it's a story I think people love to hear.
It's remarkable, and it's true.
You know, it's funny, there's been a sort of outpouring. For a long time, people kept the personal stuff kind of close to the chest about what went on in the 60s. And there's been a sort of outpouring recently. You know, Frida made the movie, and I think recently people just want to tell the story a little bit more. It's nice for us because we get to hear the ins and outs of the songs that we've loved since we were children.
That's true. I'd love to attribute it to a desire to tell their story. It's probably a desire to cash in, to be honest. But,
well, possibly. But, that's all right. Whatever.
Everyone's making a book deal. But, yeah, it does lead to a lot of interesting storytelling. But you also, of course, you know, the trouble is, and that's one of the reasons I don't write a book, is there is a tendency for everyone to write stories about, you know, I was the fifth Beatle, and then I told Paul, and then John said to me and stuff. So that, you know, I don't mind telling stories, of course, about the past, but there is a tendency that everyone's role in the 60s grows in size, as time goes by. So I try not to exaggerate to the best of my ability.
I mean, see, I agree with you, but because Mike Waldman's read all those books.
You should see my library.
Every time one comes out, he gets another one. He's like, oh, great.
Well, there are a lot of them. I mean, at Apple, I think everyone who worked at Apple has probably written a book. My assistant's written a book.
Right.
Jack Oliver wrote a book. Tony Bramwell wrote a book. You know, that entire office.
Everybody has,
was filled with authors. Chris O'Dell.
I read that book. That's one of my case. That's one of my favorite books. I don't know. I have no idea if it's true or not, but it's delightfully written.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Chris, as you'll see in the book, Chris was my assistant when she got there.
Let's talk more in a minute. I know you're coming to town to do something special here in Laguna Beach. The Laguna Concert Band, an organization which I'm familiar with around here, and Peter Asher are going to do a British Invasion tribute. Saturday, February 6th at 7 p.m. Sunday, February 7th at 2 p.m. There's only two shows available for this.
Yes. No, the Laguna Playhouse.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. I mean, I didn't know about this band, I have to admit, until someone told us about it. And I looked him up and everything. And it sounds extraordinary. It's a huge orchestra, but with no strings. It's all brass and woodwinds.
That's right.
And they sound amazing.
Yeah.
So when they said, you know, look, would you... We sometimes have guest people come and sing, and would you like to sing with us? I had no hesitation in saying yes right away. So in the interim, we've been going back and forth working on arrangements. They have some brilliant arrangers in-house, and they've sent me mock-ups and scores. You know, I got a new one this morning, which I listened to and read through and made some comments and stuff, but it's great. So, I mean, it's going to be some of the songs you're expecting to hear, and some songs that you're not necessarily expecting to hear that I've added in for this purpose, but particularly songs which will work well with this extraordinary and exciting orchestral lineup.
Well, you guys, would you play another song for us, and then we'll chat a bit more after?
Okay, absolutely, yeah. We'll do the song that kind of began it all, you know, when this is a song Paul McCartney wrote. Very briefly, as you may know, the story was that it was an unfinished song that nobody wanted. Paul had written it and John had turned it down for the Beatles. Nobody else was doing it. Paul hadn't bothered to finish it. And so when Gordon and I got a record deal, I went back to Paul and said, is that song still, you know, an orphan? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, well, could we adopt it? Would you finish it for us and may we sing it? And he said, yeah, nobody wants it. You know, take it. So sometimes people go, well, how did you get all those great songs out of the Beatles? The answer is, it was kind of a throwaway. But I really liked it, and we made this record of it, and it changed my life forever. I was a philosophy student at the time. And next thing you know, I was a pop star with a big hit, being chased by screaming girls, which was an improvement over being a philosophy student.
So, Peter Asher is here in the studio at KX93.5. We're very, very lucky to have him here. He's coming to town to do the British Invasion tribute at Laguna Playhouse on, and I'll get this right, February 6th and 7th. He's here with his musical director, Mr. Jeffrey Alan Ross, and they're going to play live for us right now in the studio at KX93.5.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Please lock me away and don't allow the day here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. Out of tune and rain outside the moon. I'm okay, here I'll stay with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. So I wait, and in a while I will see my true love smile. May come, I know not when. When she does, I'll know. So baby, until then, lock me away and don't allow the date here inside where I hide with my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
Concert band will take it away with a massive, gigantic instrumental solo by the huge assembled orchestra. Make this 12-string sound totally wimpy.
So I wait, and in a while I will see my true love smile. She may come, I know not when. When she does, I'll know. So baby, until then, lock me away my loneliness. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love. I don't care what they say, I won't stay in a world without love.
That is the song that's, you know, and you smile, like, and it just makes everybody smile. And so fantastic to hear you. Tell us a bit about, just before you go, and I know everybody's on a rush to get out and do the things they need to do, but I'd love to know a bit about the swinging 60s in London, yours, a few memories of that, and what it was like to move to LA back then for a young Englishman.
Yeah, I didn't move to LA till about 1970, but the swinging 60s in London were pretty much all they were cracked up to be. We really did have a good time, you know. It was a recovery, you know, because what people in America don't realize is how grim the 50s were in England. You know, the 50s were black and white. There was rationing. You know, it was a very grim time. We all tried to cheer ourselves up with a new queen and all that stuff. You know, but in the end, America was where the action
right,
was.
Right, it was
America,
a golden age
we looked
here.
Across the Atlantic and it was all, yeah. You know, fabulous technicolor wonderfulness. And England was all bomb sites and rationing. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Americans always feel like, you know, it was a British invasion, like Britain invaded America with its culture. But some of that in Britain must have come from America.
Oh, like totally. Musically, it all did.
Yeah.
I mean, we all began, the Beatles and all of us began as tribute bands to American rock and roll. So that's the miracle of it, that we took your music, fell in love with it, and sold it back to you, which was very strange.
Isn't that,
I mean, yeah. When I say you, I mean them.
You mean them, you know, yeah.
And we bought a lot of it.
Exactly.
And we still are.
Exactly.
No, I'll take it. I'm American.
They loved our music. They loved our accents. They thought anyone who was the English accent was automatically intelligent. And it was fantastic.
Oh, they still do, Peter.
And luckily,
they really do.
That...
How do you think an idiot like me gets a job like this? You know, just talk and they go, oh, you sound so great. You must have a degree. Well, actually, no.
Yeah, exactly. So... Well, neither do I. I'm a dropout.
So that's, you know, you've been working all this time and you're really a current guy. I mean, worked recently with Ed Sheeran.
Yes.
And before that, 10,000 Maniacs, who we love very much.
Yes.
And what I'm interested in really from the point of view of the radio station, which we're a generational alt-rock station, we like to break new music, we love to get in on what's really happening at grassroots level. What do you see on the horizon for the music business?
Oh, gosh, I wish there was one particular artist I could suddenly think of a name, given that opportunity. There's so much great new music happening. I hear things I like all the time. Yeah, I don't have a particular recommendation at the moment.
Do you like the internet and the way things have changed, like
yes.
The business has changed?
Oh, well, I don't like the fact people don't buy records anymore. That's right. A bit of a disadvantage.
It's a bummer that artists aren't getting paid.
But yeah. Other than that, I love what it's done for the music. I mean, that you can access so many different kinds of music and hear it easily, you know, that's wonderful. And music is as important in people's lives as it ever was. In a way, the fact that you no longer get to be a billionaire by being a rock star isn't the end of the world, you know?
Right.
And of course, if you go on the road, you can make a fortune now like you always could. But nobody makes a fortune selling records except Adele.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, that's the top.
And good luck for her. Right. She is that good. The great news is that somebody who's breaking all the records and being that gigantic is actually
that good.
One of the best singers in history.
And that changed, like the change in recording as well and in the sort of technology in studios, was that an easy transition for you, I should say?
I loved it. I mean, I was, because suddenly now you can do the things we dream of doing. I mean, back in the day, we'd go, God, if only I could just fix that one note, that's the perfect take. Now you can.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You can do a lot more than that, as you know. And they used to say even back then, oh, you can make anyone sound good in the recording studio. Well, actually, you can now.
You can these days, yeah.
But you can't give them what Adele and Sheeran have. You can make them sound like they can sing better than they can, but you can't make them move you.
Well, I think if anybody can give an artist soul, it's you, Peter Asher. I'm just delighted that you're here.
Well, thank you very much, yeah.
And we're excited that you're coming to town on, and they get it right again, Saturday, February 6th, 7 o'clock, Sunday, February 7th at 2 p.m. That's at the Laguna Playhouse, British Invasion Tribute. Tickets available at the Playhouse website. Everybody knows in town where to find that. It's very exciting.
Would you like to share one song that we're not expecting?
No.
Okay.
Because then you'd be expecting it.
True enough. Jeff's laughing. Thank you as well, Jeff, for coming, musical director. And we're just stoked that you're here. So have a nice time in Laguna. Enjoy.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you at the show.
Thanks for having me. My pleasure.